Welcome to the Sexy Aging Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Minotnuku. I started this podcast because I have a fascination with aging, and I'm constantly searching for credible guests to educate, inform, entertain, and inspire you to live an incredible second half of your life. So it's not surprising that I stumbled across the topic of menopause, and down the rabbit hole I went. If you started listening to this podcast from the first episode, you'll actually be joining me on the journey of discovering what menopause is and how best to support my menopause symptoms. And if you're new here, welcome, welcome. A shout out to my sponsor, Nature's Help, who are playing their part in supporting women's health and women in the menopause life stage with their wonderful supplements. I'll share more on that a bit later. I'm so excited to share with you that I have a women's wellness retreat happening in Bali in June, and there are just a few rooms left. If you've always wanted to get away for some self-care, yoga, fitness, workshops on midlife health, purposeful living, healthy food, beautiful views, and more, then I'd love to meet you there. The link is in the show notes to sign up. Grab a friend, and I'll be seeing you in Bali. In today's interview, I'm joined by Mish Wright, a fitness educator and passionate advocate for women's health and fitness. We're actually sharing this interview across our respective podcasts, and Mish's contact details are in the show notes. Mish started her fitness career in her mid-30s, and you have got to tune into her story. It's going to blow you away. Mish and I met at the Fuel Women's Fitness Business Summit in Auckland, New Zealand recently, and we knew we wanted to have more conversations. So what's better than a podcast? Welcome to our episode, our podcast episode today. The reason I say ours is because we are sharing this podcast episode across our respective podcasts. I have a guest who is based in Australia, but she is a Kiwi, so yay. And we have podcasts where we're supporting women navigating the menopause stage of life, but also my guest is ingrained in the fitness industry. She's an educator, and I'm not going to say too much about her. I'd like to welcome Mish Wright to our podcast.
Thank you, Tracy, and I'd like to welcome you to ours, so the Women's Fitness Podcast, as part of the Women's Fitness Education Network. So great to be here, and great for us to have this conversation. We met each other in the flesh recently at the Fuel Summit in Auckland, and it was fabulous. And I know you're coming over to Melbourne to do some more things this year, so another opportunity to connect and hang out.
Yeah, I mean, I have been stalking you, Mish, for a long time, by the way. I am enamored by your LinkedIn posts. They just really speak to me. You're really down to earth. You've got your science that supports a lot of what you talk about. And I absolutely loved your presentation at the Fuel Summit. You spoke on such a unique topic, and I think it just sort of showcases the journey that you've actually taken as well. But I just want to invite you to share a little bit about yourself. We're both going to have this moment, like our 5-minute timer is on, where we get to share, like, how did we come into this space?
Yeah, sure. And you know what? It is a space that I know that you have always been sporty and active. I am the opposite end of that spectrum. So I came from a very sporty Kiwi family. And you know, in New Zealand, if you don't play sport, there's something wrong with you. I was that person. I never could run. I had no joy with it. But I had a kind of a tragic circumstance that pushed me into the fitness industry. And so that was, I was a Kiwi, and I went like loads of Kiwis over to the UK to do my OE, and I just kind of forgot to leave, and I was there for quite some time, had my daughter there, and when she was getting older, it's like, oh, I can't have her not being able to walk on the grass and bare feet. So we actually decided to move to Melbourne, and within a year of moving to Melbourne, we bought a house and renovated it, and I got pregnant with our second child, Maxie. And when I was 7.5 months pregnant, My husband told me that he had met a woman 6 weeks earlier via casual sex online and had fallen in love with her and was moving out and moving in with her. So bit of a mic drop moment for me.
Yeah, totally.
It's so funny delivering this now and being so kind of, you know, not attached to it because it was my story for a long time. And the reason I'm telling you the story is it was the reason why I got into the fitness industry. I had this amazing support, not only from family, but friends and sometimes strangers who became friends who just stepped up. And people used to ring up and say, I'm going to come and stay with you. You know, when's the person there leaving? And I was actually not alone for 9 months, would you believe? But it was when my son was, I know lots of new mums don't have that support.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So I was very, very blessed. When Max was 6 weeks old, I had a friend who I'd met in London. She was returning back to New Zealand. She was a teacher like me. And she said to me, I'll come on this day. And when I picked her up from the airport, I said, how long are you staying with me? And she said, oh, till I know you're on your feet. Mm. This, Tracy, is what brings tears to my eyes and a knot in my throat. And every day she would say, okay, what are we going to do for exercise? And that was a game changer for me. It changed my life. It helped me get out of, I was put on antidepressants, but I wasn't depressed. I had PTSD. People didn't really talk about trauma so much then, but I was very, very traumatized. And it was amazing. And so when I had to go back to work, I was a single mum. I had some financial support from my parents, which I was very blessed. But I knew I did go back teaching, and it was just like, I can't do this. And so I became a fitness professional and did something that was just, I was just loving. I love not only feeling strong, I love that feeling. Even today, I love that feeling of feeling strong. But what it does for my mental health is there's no pill for me that has done the same thing as being fit and strong. So I happened into, so if you'd asked someone I went to school with, Mish was going to be a personal trainer, they would have fallen off their chair, Tracy, because I am not that person. But, and you said at the start about the science, and that's because I've always been a book geek.
Yeah.
Right? And so that has come through. So it's interesting now that I have come full circle and now working in education in the fitness industry, a place that I'm very happy to be in. But Tracy, tell me about your story.
Yeah, I mean, we have some similarities. Probably the thing that's most different is I've always been into fitness and sports. So I was a young triathlete, dancer. So I don't know, there's a bit of crossover there between dance and triathlon. And I went to University of Otago and did a Bachelor of Physical Education. So, you know, just inserted myself into the fitness industry from a really young age. So I came out of university straight into personal training. Last night I was actually thinking about some of my very first clients, and yeah, it's like I must touch base and see if they're still alive.
That is funny.
Yeah, because I was thinking about all the women that I was training when I was young, when I was like 22, and they were 40 or 50 coming to me.
Yeah.
And menopause, I keep thinking about it now. So it's something that I want to, I want to explore that a bit more. But after 10 years working in New Zealand, I had the opportunity to go overseas like you, spent 20 years in Asia working for fitness behemoths like Fitness First and Les Mills, set up Les Mills Southeast Asia. And then my husband and I did our own fitness boutique company. We had some fitness clubs, and hello, COVID. So that's the fast track to a lot of people's story when it comes to fitness in the industry. We moved back to New Zealand, and it was time to come back. Yep. And I was smack up in menopause and not having a great time and not really getting a lot of support or information on what was actually going on and how to manage it. And like yourself, I love the science. I love finding out for myself credible information, like what's happening to the body, how it relates to my body, other people's bodies, and figuring it all out. And I just spent like 6 months figuring out what is menopause and how does it relate to my fitness, my wellness, my nutrition. And I turned that into, you know, some resources, podcast, online course, blog posts, all the things that I felt might help other people accelerate their own learning. And like, I like to make it really simple. So yeah, and here we are. Now I have the Sexy Aging podcast and you have your podcast and we connected at the Fuel Summit in Auckland.
We did. And I have to say, I got on board and signed up for your newsletter. And if anybody's listening and, you know, wants to do so, like, I loved it.
Thank you.
It was really beautiful to look at, which is really important to me. And yeah, it was really great information. So congratulations. And your podcast is great too.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, well, we're supporting one another because one of the really cool things about coming into this stage of life is the collaborative opportunities.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I might have mentioned that. I don't know if I mentioned it in the intro because I have a bit of brain fog at the moment, but I have been stalking you and, you know, on your Instagram and your LinkedIn posts. And I thought to myself about a year ago, I'm going to meet this woman. I'm going to meet her one day. And I actually think just from the way that she speaks and from what I read that she puts out there, I think we're going to kick it off. It's going to be awesome.
And yeah, here we are. We did. We met at the Fuel Summit in Auckland earlier this year, which is fantastic. And we're going to see each other again later this year when you're back in Melbourne at an event too. So that's great.
Yeah. And no, I'm looking forward to that. And you can take me for a coffee because I've recently stopped drinking. So
right,
it's coffee now. Yeah.
I also don't drink as well.
Yeah. Is that because of menopause?
No, I actually got COVID about 2 years ago, and I have had long COVID, so I've had to have a complete redress of my full health, and it, you know, it is. I've had people say, "You sure it's not menopause?" Because there's lots of things that are the same, the fatigue and the headaches. But you know, I think I do have some menopausal symptoms. They're not been too bad, but this was, I got COVID and then I got headaches and they never went away for a year and a half. So, and every day waking up like I've got a hangover. So yeah. I had quite full on neurological symptoms and that was my wake up call. So I stopped drinking then because it was like I had a hangover. And just even to this day, it's changed everything that I do. I minimize coffee as well, but my rest is number one. So yeah. I was thinking about this just, you know, that I would sacrifice my sleep for exercise. So I'd get up early to do early, you know, exercise to, you know, get that kickstart on the day. And now I never do that. I wake up when my body is fully rested and go in the afternoon and do exercise. Probably not so much high intensity in the evening, but I will do a strong yoga in the afternoon, or Pilates midday, or go for a bike ride, or, you know, exercise is still a fundamental way of me. But when I went through long COVID, I couldn't exercise. So it made me really appreciate. I had to do it very, very gently. Yeah. So
I did not know that about you. That's actually really interesting. And that completely makes sense. Like if you're going to do an overhaul of your life, because that's actually quite an event, you know, long COVID, when you're a fitness person as well. And then you have to go, I can't exercise because this is not helping.
It was huge. In fact, I saw there is nothing that I didn't do. Every month I did a different therapy. So I took time off work. I saw a health coach. I saw a naturopath. I saw a dietitian. I saw a headache specialist. I went on the THC you know, drops. There is not full on vitamins and minerals. You know, there was so much. And the one thing that made the biggest difference was going to see a cognitive behavioral therapist to help me deal with the deep sadness I had for and grief around my lack of identity. Because if I'm in an industry where, and you know I love exercising and how important it is to my mental health, and I'm struggling to go for a short walk without impacting on my headaches, and you know, I there were times when I just couldn't get my head above, I just had to lie down. I could work lying down, but just being upright was really hard. So I've had to really rebuild it, and it was the cognitive behavioral therapist that gave me strategies to deal with the sadness around it. And yeah, and then that was a big thing. But the first, so I've actually done a whole lot of training around this and created resources for fitness professionals, because it's not just long COVID, it's, you know, chronic fatigue and even menopause. They're all kind of similar symptoms and all have to be dealt with the same way. But I did find going back into movement that if I did stuff lying down, so that meant swimming was fine. Anything where I could control my breath, I did Wim Hof, I did cold showers, ice baths, cold water therapy, you know, you name it, I've had a go at it. But my number one is rest. Yeah. Prioritizing my sleep and my rest.
Yeah. And that's what I encourage women who are going through perimenopause to Absolutely. Do. Like, usually they want to do all the things and they don't think that sleep is number one.
Yep.
They think, I should exercise more and eat less and just focus on breathing air. But yeah. It's like, no, actually you need to go to bed and you need to make that your priority for the next, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, and then let's talk about the other things.
Yep, that's right. And when you're jacked up on cortisol, doing exercise that raises cortisol is not your friend.
It's not your friend.
Mm-hmm. It's breathing exercises. And I was just talking I belong to a mentoring group, and this woman was in her late 40s, and she's like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, my career, and all of these things. And I've always been such a high achiever, and I'm just, you know, I'm perimenopause. And I just said, do you know what? It's the time of life where kind of life gives you a little shake. I mean, I had long COVID for me, where it gives you a little shake and says, actually, just stop trying to achieve and just go within. Just breathe, focus, fill your cup, do the things that light you up. And I can see it now. Like, I had to take that advice, and it was awful to do.
I agree.
When you're a go-getter, right? Yep. But I was forced to do that. And you probably were the same with menopause.
Yeah.
And then kind of when you're through the other side of it, you actually realize, oh, it's now I have clarity. I had to, you know how if you're a gardener, to get the most out of your soil, you have to dig in and just let it rest, and then you get that beautiful spring growth. And that's how I see the space, in the menopausal years.
Yeah, no, I agree. I so much of what you've said I resonate with. When we moved back from Asia, I had a year where I wasn't working, and I was just trying to deal with my symptoms, and I had to step away from who am I if I'm not working for this company or that company or achieving this. Really did my head in. So when you say I had to go within, menopause did that for me. It made me stop. It made me reevaluate. And my empathy levels also just accelerated for a whole lot of other women. Like, I could look around and literally go to a cafe and spot the menopausal woman who was struggling because I was there, you know?
Yeah.
So it is a really special moment. When you start to come through it, you realize almost what it's all about. you know, you're rebuilding yourself to the person that you always wanted to be. Hey, we've gone pretty deep, Michelle.
We have, right, pretty quick, right in
pretty
there.
Quick. Yeah, I always knew that would happen. But we do have some questions that that we did want to talk about in relation to the fitness industry.
Yes.
And so obviously we've both spoken about menopause a little bit here. And I'd like to hear your perspective from in Australia. Have you noticed the acceleration of the conversation, and what kind of things have been jumping out at you lately around menopause and menopause health in Australia?
Yeah, well, we live in a global community, so I think it's everywhere. And I've been thinking about this, Tracy. And so when I first started in personal training, as you know, I did in my later in life, I was in my mid-30s when I had my own business, and I specialized then. I had two young children, so I specialized in the pre-postnatal. And I was, an original thought leader, I suppose, at that time around pushing the conversation around pelvic floor, and prolapse and incontinence and exercise-induced incontinence, exercise-induced prolapse. I started a franchise, and each of my franchises was aligned with a women pelvic health physiotherapist, and that was the first it had ever happened. I created the Women's Health and Fitness Summit, which ran for 4 years, which was a conversation. It was invited both physiotherapist and fitness professionals so that they could have a relationship where they could see the value in one another. There's no hierarchy. It was, we need to be team players to help women. So I feel like, and this has exploded. Like now it just, oh my God, it gives me so much joy to see personal trainers talking about pelvic floor, incontinence, all that thing is real. It's, bread and butter. It's salt and pepper. It is really, on the table. No one's batting an eyelid. So I think that they're, and all those people who are with me in this kind of pushing for this recognition of basically how to train women differently from men are now hitting menopause. So it makes sense to me that, the same people who were being strong advocates for women's health have got to a point in their own life and then looking around going, why hasn't anybody told me about this? Which is what we all said when we had children and, wet ourselves, exercise pushed me to incontinence, and I was like, why didn't anyone tell me about this?
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing about menopause. So that's where I think why it has exploded in such a time. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, what I've noticed in New Zealand, very similar. People are more open to talking about the non-glamorous aspects of being a woman, and feeling pretty comfortable with it. It's only been 3 years that I've been back, and I have noticed quite a difference in the last sort of year. One of the things I've also noticed is in businesses and workplaces, a real high demand for workshops to support women in menopause. A lot of these workshops are sort of workplace focused. Not many of them are focusing on natural and lifestyle ways to support your menopause symptoms. And that's kind of where you and I step in the strengths of that. With our background, we can actually offer credible information when we deliver a workshop to a workplace, from our, physical education backgrounds and, education and fitness backgrounds. Some of the other things I've noticed is it's on television. it's in the women's magazines. In actual fact, I picked up a magazine. It is from the UK, but it was in the supermarket and it was called Menopause, and it's a quarterly magazine now. So I think there's that identification that this is a rapidly growing topic. We are trending, Mish. You and I, we are trending. It's hot right now, no pun intended, and people want to know, and actually a whole cohort of Gen X women are pretty angry about not being told what to expect, because we have a long history with taking care of yourselves and exercising and going to body pump and pushing some weights and running the 10Ks, and we've grown up. Or, it was a bit later for you, but you totally get it, right? The upsides of exercise. So we take care of ourselves. We want to look after ourselves. And we continue to think, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm still going to do my workout. But then
it doesn't
perimenopause. And now nothing's working and it doesn't feel good. So I think a lot of Gen X women have put their foot down. And I'm friends with a lot of them here in New Zealand and said, tell us more and let's help the up-and-coming generation, the millennials, the Gen Zs. Yeah. Let's share the conversation with them so they don't have to experience some of the heartache, pain, isolation, frustration that many of us have already experienced. And I think that's a really cool moment to be in. I feel like I'm, you know, a bra-burning woman when it comes
I love it.
We're having our moment.
I think it's also important to put it into a historical context of, you know, prior to 2002, hormones were given out like lolly water.
Yeah.
You know, so we had generations of women who had access to hormonal support. So we're talking about HRT or menopause hormone therapy is what we call it now. But, you know, from at 2002 was the paper, the research, the Women's Health Institute released their findings. The study itself was deeply flawed for, you know, what it came out with. And then they stopped the study, suddenly had a press conference and said to the press, actually, there's a heightened risk of breast cancer. And overnight, you know, women rang their doctors and said, am I going to get breast cancer? And so, you know, everyone went into hyper, you know, caution. And then to the day where I had to go and see a doctor, I'm not kidding, like maybe 6 weeks ago, it wasn't my normal doctor. It was a guy in the, who is in the same practice. And I said to him, you know, I was on hormone treatment because, he just looked at me and said, do you think you should? And I had to just cut him off, Tracy. I said, do not talk to me about, you know, the link to breast cancer. You need to go back and have a look at the research and the science. Yes. And please tell me that you're not telling women this who come in, and, you know, because it is not true. It is not true.
And, oh, Michelle, I can see the fierceness. That would absolutely be me. I'd be
absolutely.
Like, no.
Because if you hear it from your doctor that there's a link to breast cancer, then of course you're going to go, oh, my God, you know. Yeah. But the reality is, well, first of all, we have to clarify that everyone is different. So, you know, a menopausal specialist doctor will give you your hormonal risk. You know, they are best suited to do that, not Tracy or I. But you know, for women, you know, using hormones to help support them is a game changer.
You can't
ask women to be active if they're not sleeping well, because, you know, they're having hot flushes, you know, all through the night. So, you know, we need lifestyle, yes, but for some women, you know, hormones are a game changer.
Stay a minute with me while I share some information on my sponsor for this podcast. Nature's Help are an Australian-based women's health supplement company, and they have designed a range of natural solutions that are specific to women in menopause. It's one of their best sellers, and they have hundreds of positive reviews. I'm currently using their other supplements, including organic turmeric with black pepper and ginger, and magnesium oil to support my muscle cramps and inflammation, as well as their organic super greens in my protein smoothie. And get this, it's apple flavor, so it's not at all like drinking grass. You're going to love it. I have a special podcast listeners discount code of 20% off when you use the code SEXYPOD20, but you don't have to remember it. Just go to the link in the show notes to access that. Yeah. Hey, Michelle, the moment right before I asked my doctor for hormone replacement therapy, MHT, was a real defining moment for me as a fitness person. I was sitting on the couch ready to go and do a workout, and then I thought, I don't want to go. And it happened multiple times.
Just that complete lack of motivation and that realization that, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And that was such a wake up call for me. So I got myself to the doctor and I'm like, I think I need to try hormone therapy. And also I wanted to try it for myself so that I could at least speak about it, because how could I speak about something that I honestly didn't know how it actually worked? The other thing with women is they get a little bit all up in their heads around, oh, I'm going to go on hormone therapy. You can just stop. You know, it's like, it's not make or break. You can just stop if it doesn't work or you're not feeling it or, you know, it doesn't feel good. Because, you know, 20% of women aren't going to get the same positive effects. 80% of women will. I was the 80%. I had positive effects. It brought my mojo back. I got off the couch. I went and did a great workout. I didn't hurt so much afterwards. I slept like a baby. And now I feel like I'm back on track to get my life back on track. Also, I did, you know, I pay attention to one of the things that you said. I actually did spend a lot of time working on my sleep hygiene well before I went on hormone replacement therapy. But there were still moments that it was a bit shit.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, it's interesting because I have a theory that, so, you know, when I was birthing my babies, so my baby is 21 now and 24, there was a lot of talk, and I think that talk is still there and still very ripe about having, and for those people who are listening, I've got air quotes when I say natural birth. So you want to just, you know, breathe that baby out kind of thing, that you don't want to be having any intervention, and you write this birth plan that's just like, I'm going to have a water birth and I'm just going to have some candles. And, you know, I'm going to breathe this baby out. And if you're like me, that all goes to shit pretty quickly, you know, and it doesn't happen. But there is a pressure for women to just tough it out and to that this is a pain, you know, that you can do, and you're kind of a, I don't know, no one says it, but you're a better mother if you just, you know, do it naturally and all of that thing. So I think we grow up with that, right, with having babies. So it makes sense that there is that still that same, you know, pushback about adding hormones, you know, when this is a natural process that we should be just having a, air quotes coming again, people, natural menopause. You know, when in reality, so I'm on menopause hormone therapy, and I'm doing it not for the symptoms, but I'm doing it because of the research of what it says about my brain health, my bone health, and my heart health. So, because that is undeniable. And you know, and the research is really clear on that. So,
I love it.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I actually started the hormone replacement therapy for the symptoms, and then the research starts coming out and it continues to come out how positive it is for your postmenopause life, of which we spend a third of our lives, you know, maybe more. I want the benefits of that. I want to have, you know, not have the risk of cardiovascular disease. When I've spent decades of my life looking after my health and fitness just for my cholesterol to go through the roof, and suddenly I've got a heart problem. Like, how does that make any sense to me? Yeah. So I feel like I'm hedging my bets. But also, I've done the research. Hormone replacement therapy for my body is excellent. And it not only makes me feel good, but my prospects for my future health are excellent if I take hormone replacement therapy. And I'm very confident with that. So I've said it on the podcast a couple of times. Yeah, I have no issues with it. And I'm actually very encouraging of women to do their own research and advocate for themselves. I have no judgments which way they go. I just want women to feel good. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, it's the whole thing of how can we advocate for our own health if we're not given full education. So, you know, if you're under the illusion that, you know, going on hormone therapy is going to fast track you to breast cancer, you know, that's not great. You know, but it is finding those doctors and or even just appreciating. I know the listeners, your listeners do know this because I've heard you talk about it, that the doctors are not trained in menopause. So your GP, who might have seen you all your adult life and been through all the thick and thin, might not be, and you trust them and love them, might not be the best person to talk about this, because unless they've done further studies, they, you know, they might not be the best person there. And a lot of people don't realize that. So, you know, like my example of getting bogus information from my step-in GP.
Yeah. Hey, I want to segue into something that's, you know, quite important to the both of us, and it's how the fitness industry supports women in midlife, and the fact that both you and I have taken a torchlight on the topic of menopause and menopause health. And I think it's really personal to both of us, because obviously fitness is such a passion of both of us. You're an educator. I'm a chatter. I don't even know. I'm a sharer. I want to, and I love fitness, and I obviously have a background in it. But I want other women to, you know, feel really good. But one of the things that I am experiencing a challenge with is helping the fitness industry understand potentially a lost opportunity. So what's your view on how or what the fitness industry should be doing to support women in midlife? These are women that they want to go to the gym, they pay and stay, but maybe they're feeling a bit isolated. So yeah, let's unpack that.
I think it would be a really great day when we don't have to say the words women's health. You know, yeah. I will have really made it, I reckon, when I don't have to say I'm into women's health. You know, so I think that there needs to be better understanding of all the cyclic changes that happen in women's bodies, whether it's training with your menstrual cycle, training around your reproduction years, having, you know, pregnancy, postnatal, and then perimenopause. And then also often we miss that conversation. We're quite fixated on perimenopause, but what does life look like
Post-menopause,
because that's another 30 to 35 years. So think about how much living you did between age zero and age 35. Heaps, right? So we have that ahead of us post-menopause. So there definitely needs to be more understanding. I think it, if I could wave a magic wand, I think it always starts with who sits at the table when they make decisions. And at the moment, we see more women attending fitness, organized fitness, so going to the local gym. We see more women than men delivering fitness. So are you a group fit instructors, personal trainers, you know, et cetera. But the people in leadership are 80% and more men. So, you know, and Australia has definitely, it's come under, you know, a bit more scrutiny in the last few years, but it certainly has been a boys' club. So the people who are at the table have kind of dug in their heels and tried to keep there, but, you know, we need allies on the inside. I have a wonderful story to share. Like,
let's,
you know,
go.
So you know who Kate Shepherd is, or the Kiwis?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So Kate Shepherd, for those people who don't know, New Zealand was the first country in the world to give the vote to women. And Kate Shepherd is kind of the face of that. But basically she was a group of a whole lot of women who organized themselves. They went across the country and they collected signatures. Now, and then they got these signatures, and some women couldn't even write. So they had to write them, and they put a cross by their name. And then what they did is they pasted, like glue, all these signatures, and they became into this big roll that had to be carried into Parliament and the Beehive down in Wellington in a wheelbarrow. Okay. In a wheelbarrow. It was so big. Now, the thing is that women weren't allowed in parliament. So yeah. They had to have an ally, and his name is, I've forgotten his name, John someone, everyone, you know, most politicians. Sorry, Mr. Man who did this, but he was an ally, and he wheeled in the wheelbarrow and tipped it up, and it ran down the aisle of the, because it was reported about in the press, right? It rolled down the central aisle, and apparently with a thump as it hit the end of the speaker's box. Now, New Zealand did an amazing thing. Kate Shepherd did an amazing thing. And all the organisers around New Zealand to do this did an amazing thing. But it needed an ally on the inside to help that get over the line. So I think, you know, men in our industry who are at the table need to make room for women, and they need to make room for women's health. And that's where I sit on how we can affect change.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I love the story, by the way. I hadn't heard that story, but I agree with you. And I can actually positively say I have met some men quite recently that are spearheading the conversation of menopause in their respective countries and in their respective industries. So that's very cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah, I mean, there might be that underlying understanding that it could be pretty lucrative for them, considering that.
Whatever works.
I mean, I'm not going to question that. I'm like, hey, dude, you do you, as long as, you know, you're making a way for all these women to get them what they need, the support that they need. I notice that when I go to the fitness industry, I don't see any personal trainers that I'm aware of that know how to train women in midlife. I'm not seeing any group fitness programming. I'm not seeing marketing on the walls or posters that speak to women like me. I'm not hearing of any sort of strength-specific training for women in midlife. I'm not seeing the fitness industry do this. What are your views on that?
Yeah, look, I think we still have a way to go with this, and you mentioned it before. Why on earth? Let's face it, a lot of fitness centers are, you know, it's hard graft. They're working really hard to make ends meet and to be lucrative and to you know, create a lifestyle around their job. Why on earth you wouldn't be jumping on this and making it work? But it, you know, it goes back to, and this is why I'm involved with women's fitness education. So women's fitness education, we are an RTO, so registered training organization that delivers certificate 3 and 4. And I'm sure it's probably not too much difference, the certificate education for in New Zealand, but you know, it's based on the research of young fit men. So when people train, get their qualifications, we've got very little control over what goes into that. I actually was on the board a few years ago, and I thought, yes, this is my chance. I'm going to change certificate 3 and 4, include women's health. I could do kind of, you know, very little I could get changed. And so it's an ocean liner, right? It doesn't change tack suddenly. So I got some changes in, but very little. But yeah, this is what we are doing, is we're also providing my education around menopause, pregnancy, postnatal, and menstruation that all the students get, which is great. And we have, you know, webinars that are bringing in experts as well. But, you know, if you don't know that there is a problem, then, you know, you're not going to address it. But the research is really clear. Women leave. Women leave around midlife. They stop going. They might have been going regularly. So, and of course, you know, menopause does come at a time when, you know, your kids are teenagers and you're doing that white knuckle ride. You know, your parents might be aging, you're hitting your strides at work, and but you're still probably carrying the domestic load at home. So all of those things does make for a really busy time. But you know, yeah, we should really be, if you're seeing, if you're listening to this and seeing a drop off in your stats for midlife women, then get on it. Have a program that's dedicated for them, that is strength training, but also breath work and relaxation, and chuck in some education about what might be happening, and maybe some hormonal education or access to, you know, where to find that, finding a, you know, just the fact that it's, that your GP might not be able to help you. You need to go and see a menopause specialist doctor. You know, all of that is just value add, very easy value add that can make a huge difference to women. And I think the big picture of the fitness industry, making it more inclusive, because that's what we should always be looking at. Who's missing out? Why are they being missed out? And how, what can we do to address that?
Yeah. Look, and I know that the fact that women going through midlife or postmenopause are at highest risk for health issues, and we don't want to put the burden on the, you know, the medical industry, when we can do our part and keep women really engaged in the fitness industry to look after their health.
Yes. So, yeah. But if you can't, but if you're caning women, you know, if they're coming to you and say, do you know what? I don't know where this belly fat has come from. It's just like, it doesn't matter what I eat, what I do, I'm doing nothing different. You know, I've got this belly fat. And your response is, well, you know, as a fitness professional, well, we just need to up your cardio, you know, need to like address your diet. And, you know, it's just all ass about face, you know.
Yeah, doom and gloom.
It's all the wrong way around.
And the lack of education, of course, because obviously you're offering courses to help trainers upskill so that they really understand this client base. This is a really amazing client base. You know, if you're a personal trainer, I mean, these people will stay with you.
Loyal.
And they're loyal. And not only for the physical results, by the way, they'll stay with you because they feel that someone listens to them, cares about their health. And is, I mean, even though I remember as a young PT, and I said before that many of my clients were in midlife, I now realize in hindsight that they were coming to sessions with me for their mental health, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of blows me away when I think in hindsight. And so I really encourage young personal trainers to really tap into the education of training midlife women. It will be their bread and butter, and they will love it so much. It's so satisfying.
Yeah. And with, you know, doing extra training, say, so that you know how to work with women's menstrual cycles, or, you know, pregnancy postnatal, or, you know, perimenopause and postmenopause, it doesn't mean you have to know everything.
Yeah.
It just, you can be really honest to your client and say, do you know, I'm learning. Tell me what it's like for you. You know, because, I mean, I create education and I have people email me saying, oh, what about XYZ? And I have to keep saying, you know, I'm giving education for the masses, but you're going to have to, you know, remember everyone is a human. And you have to take it to a human level, you know, and personalize it, which I think fitness professionals can do really well, you know. I'm just really grateful that you are pushing this and doing everything that you're doing, because I think the thing about what will create change is that if the market requires it. So if the market says, you know, you're not training me to you know, not giving me what I need. I don't know what I need, but it's certainly not this. It's probably more likely the conversation. You know, I'm going to leave because of it. Then, you know, people will, it will change. So I'm hesitating, because it's just like, oh God, we need to put everything on women to demand more and do more and, you know, et cetera. You know, I understand you're probably tired of battling the patriarchy all your life, but I think if the market demands it, the fitness industry will respond.
Yeah. And both you and I are working pretty hard in this topic and this part of the industry as well, because I think it's like, yeah, it's a deep passion now. It's become passion and purpose. It's like the only thing, well, for me personally, the only thing that I want to do in the fitness industry is to try to keep women engaged in fitness and health and really take care of themselves. So I do kind of nudge a few people or shout in their ear, hey, what are you doing for the midlife woman? And I feel like I'm getting a little bit of traction. Obviously, I've got a few events coming up this year talking specifically about midlife woman fitness training in the industry, which is it's kind of blowing me away that it's accelerating so quickly. But, you know, you got to grab it by the horns and go for it. So, yeah, it's good times.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Don't get off your soapbox just yet, Tracy.
Or we you. Need you. You're right there with me, Mish. We're right there together. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Hey, this has been an awesome discussion, and it's going to be going across both the Sexy Aging podcast and
Women's Fitness podcast.
Yes.
Was part of Women's Fitness Education.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your catch up, Mish. And I'm so looking forward to seeing you in person again soon.
Me too. And thank you to all the listeners out there on both sides of our podcasts.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Sexy Aging. And a huge thank you once again to my guest who offers their time and knowledge. Hey, if you love this episode, go and check out some of the other ones and subscribe to the podcast so I can continue to bring you content you will love. I'd also appreciate a review if you've got a minute. And if you are watching or listening to this episode on Spotify, there is the opportunity to give specific feedback and comments on this episode. Get out there and slay and stay sexy.